Welcome, wrestling fans. Welcome, sports fans. Welcome back to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia, and all over the world on the BDSIR Radio Network. If you don't know, that's the best damn show in radio. Also, partner with The Chair Shot, hashtag TheChairShot.com, hashtag, if you will, use your head, people. Listen, I am your host, Mike Knox, and that is my man, Mr. CP Platt, as well, over there on the Twitter. What's going on, Chris?
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to be here. There's a lot going on, and hell, Mike, we got a lot to talk about, brother.
Not only do we have a lot to talk about, it's so much to talk about that I got to do a part two tomorrow. So tomorrow, there will be a special show with myself and Champ Creed over at Fox Sports from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. Also, a Chicago kid like myself will dive into that wonderful part one and part two documentary that we got a chance to see in The Last Dance of the Chicago Bulls. But Chris, as you just said, a lot to talk about today. But as always, people, first, the particulars. Make sure you follow us on Twitter by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, if you're not making it loud, that's your problem. That's Mike Knox, spelled with three X's. But people, you already know that. You can follow him as well. It's right there. You see it below his name. You pull up below his beautiful face. His mama said he's beautiful, so he's beautiful, okay? The real CP Platt is also 1340 AM Fox Sports on the Twitter as well. Instagram, wherever social media is sold, which is absolutely free. And since we're speaking about free things, so are podcasts. And we've been doing this thing for 10 years plus and counting. Not in my mama's basement. It was in my own basement. Now it's been in my several different game rooms. But you can find that as well at BDSR Network. Just search for it. Like they say, Google me, like my man David Otunga would say. Google me, and you can find the podcast of not just this show, but other shows from just you name it, it's there for you. You got no time to talk about it. So much to get into, Chris. How was your weekend? And most importantly, I'm just going to cut the core where it is. The weekend wrestling has been crazy, my brother.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Wrestling, it's in this weird place now, man, because a lot of us, we think we know more about wrestling than we actually do because of all the journalism and whatnot and all the information that we're, you know, overcome with. That most weeks, or a lot of weeks, and this week in particular, the outside happenings are way more interesting and fascinating than what actually happens in the ring or what actually happens on these shows. And yeah, this week was certainly no exception to that. I mean, my God. They got, what, Black Monday in the NFL? Would this be considered, what, Black Wednesday?
Yeah. Well, you know, we will get into that, and I want to get into that because, as always, I trip the line differently than the majority of wrestling fans out there. And my take on what actually happened with a lot of these WWE releases and so forth. And then the weekend, the TV championship for AEW, the Moxley-Hager match for the AEW World Championship, a lot to discuss, but we were faced with a tragedy, as us wrestling fans would happen to know, and it would be won by this man right here, guys, Mr. Howard Finkel.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce myself. Some of you may know me, and some of you may not. My name is Howard Finkel. I'm also known as The Fink, and I am the premier ring announcer in the World Wrestling Federation.
The greatest in-ring announcer in the history of professional wrestling, surpassing even the great Jimmy Lennon of Las Vegas. Yeah. Dear to my heart, Finkelmania, Howard Finkel.
Hey, Jesse. Hey. How are you doing?
Good, hello, good.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return bout between Morocco and Hulk Hogan will be for the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship. And it will be held inside the steel.
Hitman, Bret Hart,
the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, Bobby the Brain, Peter,
weighing 520 pounds, the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant.
crowned some of the greats in this business as champions with a signature word. From San Martino to Backlund to Hogan to Flair to Bret Hart to The Rock to Austin to Triple H to The Undertaker to Shawn Michaels to John Cena and many more, I wanted to make their ascension to the throne memorable and remembered by how I announced their win. Well, tonight, I'm going to steal a page from my playbook, if I may. Ladies and gentlemen, I, the Fink, Howard Finkel, am a new inductee into WWE's Hall of Fame Class of 2009. Thank you very much.
Chris, we lost, to me, arguably, the greatest ring announcer of all time. And simply, mostly because when I can remember wrestling in the biggest moments, in the Saturday morning waking up, watching Wrestling Challenge and just watching wrestling in general, there was that man right there, the Fink. And it's a sad day. I remember when this came across, I just, like everything else that happened, where I said, wow, babe, I'm really getting old. This is when you know you're getting older, when people you, when you're a child, are starting to pass on. And it was just a sad day for wrestling fans, Chris.
I agree, Mike. And frankly, I don't even think it's arguable. Like, he is the GOAT. I mean, the only man that I can think of that's even in his class is Michael Buffer. And this man was the voice of WWF/E, which, as you said, by extension, also makes him the voice of our childhood.
Right.
And I've been hearing the past couple of years that he had been in poor health. So when news broke that he had got up out of here, I wasn't surprised, but that doesn't make it hurt any less.
Right.
And Mike, you brought up something very interesting too, is, you know, this dichotomy about getting older, and you start to see these images and these people from your childhood that were so instrumental in ultimately who you became as an adult start to get up out of here. It's weird. It's sad. It's weird. And I don't know, man. I don't like aging. I just don't.
it's definitely not something that I'm a fan of and that I actually enjoy doing. And that's aging. But getting that news, right, after, you know, we was on air last Monday. We got to get off and then watch what happened on Raw. So, and then watch Tuesday happen. And then watch what happened Wednesday. Get the news of the Fink. Still watch, you know, NXT. Still watch AEW in the SmackDown this past Friday, where they gave their or he passed on Thursday. I'm sorry, where they gave the they gave a little tribute to him and an honor and tribute show for him, and if you will, on SmackDown. And to get that news, follow with the news of the releases, Chris. This is what wrestling fans are already set on fire by, the list of names from wrestlers to agents to writers to you name it. An open house took place last week for WWE, and the world that we're living in this pandemic, wrestling fans are on edge. How could this company, that's not good shit, Vince, to fire people during a pandemic where people are not having jobs and don't know where their next meals are coming from, Chris. And wrestling fans took to social media and let their voices be heard, Chris.
Yeah, about that. Y'all need to calm down, man. Y'all read one article in Forbes and all of a sudden y'all Mr. Moneybags. Most of y'all never even tried to run your own businesses, but yet you're going to tell this multi-billion dollar corporation how they should react. It's sad, obviously, when anybody loses their jobs. It's sad.
Right.
But at the same point in time, man, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that go into this. I mean, number one, you got to remember Vince just lost $100 million with the XFL folding. They probably took an L for WrestleMania weekend, not just not made a dime. They probably took an L. I don't see how that event could have possibly have been profitable for them. And then on top of that, the shareholders are starting to get hip to the game and realize that Vince has been working them this entire time to keep that stock price up. So there's a lot going on. And these are the perils of when you have a corporation. The bottom line is the bottom line. And a lot of times it comes to the point where it's addition by subtraction. Now, I think that a lot of these people will get back in WWE at some particular point in time when we get back to some semblance of normalcy, whenever the hell that's going to be. But some of them aren't. And it sucks for them, because I'm looking at it more big picture, because in this industry, when WWE sneezes, mm-hmm. the entire industry catches a cold.
Right.
So moving forward, a lot of these smaller promotions and these indie feds, are they going to be able to survive on the other side of this? I mean, I'm already going into this knowing that a lot of businesses are not going to make it. Hell, Neiman Marcus been around forever, and they just filed for bankruptcy this last week. So there's a lot of businesses
AMC that aren't going
to make it to the other side.
AMC Theaters. You know, they're getting a little, here they're getting a bailout, but go ahead.
No, so I'm curious to see how this is going to affect the wrestling landscape, because between the podcasting and social media and whatnot and Pro Wrestling Tees, matter of fact, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, pick up an official chair shot shirt, please, thank you, please. But there's a lot of people that were making decent livings, and now with this whole situation, I feel like what's going to happen to wrestling is pretty much what's going to happen here in America. The gap between the haves and the have-nots is going to get even wider. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know what that says for the future of this industry, to be quite frank with you.
See, I like your take on that, Chris, because I had a different take, and your take is the more business side, and my take is also there with the business side, and I didn't bat an eye at it. And as always, I was glad somehow this happened where you were allowed to speak first in your opinion, but us even talking about it. I always tell people, shout out to Dice Man that's in the party right now, who completely disagrees with where I stood with this, and he'll get his spurs in either via chat. What's up, what's going on, Jason Michael Campbell as well in the chat, and we'll talk later and I get his words out the best I can. But I felt like, and you know, I've always been accused of that WWE guy. And I always tell people, and it does irk me to a point, I won't lie, because I think I'm a wrestling guy first, and I'm a guy who understands, I've always dubbed this show to be the show for the intelligent wrestling fan. I just think in this day and age where I can learn how to go build an engine off the computer of going to YouTube University, that everybody knows everything. So if we're that intelligent to go look up how to build an engine, we should be able to understand business. And understanding business is not saying Vince is an asshole because he fired these guys during the pandemic. Because my response to that was, I got laid off during this pandemic. Okay? So a lot of Americans got laid off during this pandemic. My other side of the spectrum was the majority of them. Not all of them. We're talking about the big name wrestlers in itself, right? They had secure contracts. Yeah, you live with the money you make, so now they may be living above their means. But this hammer could have came at any moment. It didn't just have to come at this time because they decided to make the cuts they make every year. And also, once the company proceeded to continue to have WrestleMania without the fans, because they had to go on with business because they felt, I don't know their numbers, we know what they show us, but do we really? It's America, people. Do we really know what they show us? Okay? Felt they had to go on and had to let some of these guys go. My other end of the spectrum was that was, and I'm going to pick on certain individuals here, okay, would be one of Drake Maverick and how he took and used wrestling fans' sympathy and hatred for WWE to promote himself. Smart? Yes. Did he know what he was doing? I believe so. Yes. But I also give you the question, intelligent wrestling fans. Were you really craving for a Drake Maverick match? Were you looking for him to come back and do something worthy? No, Leo Rush, I felt Leo Rush shouldn't have been fired. I felt Leo Rush should have stayed with Bobby Lashley, but hey, what do I know? We're here for the culture, which should have been him and Bobby Lashley, but they didn't do that. But we're talking about WWE, who don't do a lot of things for the culture, okay? Or at least continue to do it for the culture, okay? So when this happened, I was like, eh. And I didn't care. Not that I didn't care because I was, unsympathetic to their losing their employment. But for the wrestlers, especially, not the talent, not the writers who may not make this money. That is a shame for those guys. But hey, all you wrestling fans that hate the WWE, didn't you say you hate the writing? So shouldn't they fire some of the writers anyway? I'm confused in your anger sometimes. You're so eager to hate them that no matter what they do, they're wrong. That's okay. You're entitled to. That's the part of being a fan, which is a fanatic, and you're fanatically crazy about your opinions about what they do 90% of the time. I'm not a WWE mark. I am a fan. I'm a fan of pro wrestling, but this was business and nothing else but business, Chris.
And I mean, that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to social media. People are waiting on social media with bated breath to be outraged or offended or angry at something. That's just what it is. And the funny part is, people think that they're acting on their own fruition, like this is some organic thing. They don't understand how they're being mentally manipulated to react a certain way. You know what I mean? I mean, it's predictive therapy. You know that some of the people are going to react like this. You know some of the people are going to react like this, but you're going to get a reaction. And you're not even thinking. Like, you don't even have your own mind. You think that you're an independent thinker, but you don't understand that your entire existence is being manipulated by something greater than you that you don't even understand. And you just live to be angry and just live to be off of emotion. Was it upsetting? Was it upsetting? Of course. And I feel bad anytime anybody loses their job.
Absolutely.
Not just wrestlers, just anybody.
And that's where I stood.
People got families.
Right.
People got families, man. People got to make a living. This is America. If you don't work, you literally don't eat. That's what this is.
Simple.
But again, man, people are going to have their agendas. And this was a reason to shit on WWE.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I agree with what they did. I'm not saying I disagree with what they did. I'm looking at it from a completely objective perspective.
Business
perspective.
Yeah.
They did what they felt they had to do. It is what it is. This shit happens every day. And nobody bats an eyelash.
No one bats an eyelash. And let's speak about some of the guys who did get let go. Most importantly, I remember when hashtag I'm a Dean Ambrose guy, and now my shirt says hashtag I'm a John Moxley guy. This guy was ready for the next step. EC3? Still?
EC3 is interesting. What? Because I thought that...
You're watching this is funny. This for you. Every second of your life you spend staring at this screen is another second of your life wasted. Aimlessly watching, commenting, scrolling, liking, sharing, trolling. Is your life so empty and hollow inside that you have to vicariously live through someone else? A celebrity, a musician, an actor, a politician, a blue checkmark, a superstar. Do you read everything you're supposed to read? Do you watch everything you're supposed to watch? Like what you're supposed to like? Eat what you're supposed to like? Think what you're supposed to think? Stop treading water. Challenge yourself. Damage yourself. Claim your individuality or you will become a statistic. Find your purpose. I have. And now I am everything you are not. You have been warned.
Have we really been warned? EC3, he was ready. I've always had mixed feelings about EC3. I am not the biggest TNA guy. From what I witnessed in TNA towards that stint, I thought it was pretty cool. I think he does have a lot of potential. I think he has what I thought WWE would love, which would be the look. I think wrestlers have to have a certain look for that company. I thought he possessed that look. His NXT stint was worse probably than any of the guys that came in to go up so fast. So I just think he was doomed from the beginning. But speaking, and let's be honest here, WWE hits and misses a lot. But everybody's not a hit and miss. Everybody can't make it. I don't know what happened here. I wish they would have given him an opportunity. I've always been a believer in why do WWE get certain guys to do absolutely nothing with? And then I said, they're what we've always called the enhancement talent. I hate using that word. I like to call the original, which people find to be disrespectful. And I love that in his promo, he gave the hashtag superstars because I've always had a problem when... That's where the narrative in WWE changed from enhancement talent to superstar because everybody's not a superstar. Some people are there to get other guys over to be the superstars. Not saying he is or he wasn't. I would have loved to see it again. But moving forth, I do think him, Rusev, are guaranteed guys to be in AEW if we don't see them this coming up Wednesday, if that's not recorded and that's actually done live, or even the next couple of weeks. Because I don't think they have a future endeavors where they have to wait for time because they're immediately fired. Chris, EC3.
First and foremost, I just want to go on record as saying that I absolutely love TNA and it has nothing to do with professional wrestling. Ayo! Now... Going back to EC3, I actually had the opportunity to see him a few years ago at an indie show. This was when he was TNA World Champion, and I was living out in Arizona, and he main evented the card against some local Arizona wrestler. The first thing that struck me about him was his presence. And, you know, that's kind of a big deal when you're trying to become a star or, you know, be in show business in general. You got to have some sort of presence. And he certainly, it was palatable. You could feel it. He had a presence. And like you said earlier, he had that look that WWE tends to like.
Right.
He can talk. And he wasn't a bad wrestler either. I thought that he was going to be money when he got to WWE, yeah, or he was going to at least get some opportunities. I don't know what the hell happened. Mm-hmm. Maybe he broke one of those unwritten rules, right, that we hear about but never really know what they are, and right, he got some heat with the wrong people. I don't know what it is. Also, I kind of agree with what he was saying in his promo. He was spitting bars and everything. Yeah. He was. So, but I think he's one of those guys, like you mentioned, him and Rusev, they're going to be just fine because they, yeah, well, number one, he's had success outside of WWE, and Rusev is that damn good. So he's going to land on his feet. And, yeah, I think they'll eventually find their way at AEW, and I think Leo will be there as well.
Yeah.
Maybe even Kurt Angle in some sort of backstage.
Right. Another prison shank, if you would, to Vince McMahon, if he goes over there. Dice, man, who friend of the program, checked in and said, nobody saw Leo, EC3, Gallows, Anderson, Rusev being released. Nah, I disagree. I think Gallows, Anderson, and Rusev were always on that hit list to be released. Being released. We will always have a saying in wrestling of just wait for it. Some of those guys probably would have been used with something better was written for them. Agreed. That's always the problem with WWE. They don't write enough good products for these guys. But there's got to be at least 10 other people that could have been released that made less than they could have made you on those salaries. That, I don't know. Those are semantics I don't think that neither one of us know about. So on that one, I don't know. But I do love your post in saying that, in my opinion, WWE can make a lot more competitive product by getting rid of the development talent rather than these guys. Well, that's the question there, though, Dice. Who are we to them? Because we don't know what they do. Who they think's development talent or not. Now, we do know that they, at some point, they believed in Rusev to where, like the Bray Wyatt thing, he should have beat Cena at WrestleMania when he came out with the tanks. That was the ultimate. From there, he went down from there. And just because in wrestlers' fans' minds, Vince, you can't build somebody up to get to the next level and then have them lose every next level match. And that's when you, as a fan, you get disbeliefs in them. Then that's when they start to lose the money and we start to not care about them. And then by the hook of crook of a WrestleMania weekend crowd, Rusev days and things like that start to be the yes chance tonight that are formed, and you're pushed into a corner, Vince. You definitely have some good talent in your hands that we always see coming out of the door. I still think they have the best talent in all of professional wrestling, meaning the WWE. That's still my belief. AEW got a lot of good talent, but they're a starting company. It's going to be some years before they can actually weigh that playing field about talent versus talent. You can see that in the AEW product in the ring. Not the top of the guys, less of the guys they're wanting to get over, but some of the development talent guys, to use that word I like better than enhancement talent. And I damn sure don't like jobbers, all that's what they usually used to be called. But like saying the N-word, that's a derogatory statement in the world of professional wrestling. So you don't say that word. But the development talent, I do agree with that. Leo Rush, EC3, Rusev to me, had a future. I just always heard rumblings and grumblings, like my stomach, not really. It is happy 420. I had some French toast and some turkey bacon this morning, so I'm not grumbling. But I always knew that Luke and Anderson were on the way out. I knew the revival was on the way out. These are things I think we should have known and saw coming. So the Leo, the EC3, not so much. Rusev, we knew that months ago that he was forcing himself out of that company, and that was going to happen, even with the disrespect of the stuff that was going on with him and Bobby Lashley towards his last run in the WWE. What these guys get in trouble for, I will never know. Maybe speaking their mind too much. We know, Chris, they say this is this brass ring you have to reach for. I think when these guys try to go reach for it, Vince actually gets mad, and that's how these guys get fired, which I think is really fucking stupid, Chris.
I mean, this whole WWE hinges on the mind of a man that we won't ever understand. Another little dirty secret out there that nobody talks about is he's not all there anymore.
No.
I mean, you can see it when he's on television. The light's on, but nobody's home. All you got to do is look into his eyes and see, yeah, he's not all there anymore. He probably needs to step back for the good of everybody, but who's going to tell him no? Like, right, he built this thing from the ground up. This is his baby. You're not going to be able to get rid of him until he's up out of here. Now, I do disagree with you on the Rusev thing, though. I don't think they had any big hopes for Rusev. I think
ever?
They needed an opponent. No, I think they needed an opponent for John Cena at that WrestleMania. They were trying to coronate Roman that year and move Cena into a different position, and they needed a feud for him. So they got him hot as fish grease. You add the U.S. title in there, so now you got the whole U.S. versus Russia patriotic Rocky IV type gimmick. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the peak. And then after that happened, they didn't have anything for him. And just a testament to how great of a character he is, he was able to get himself over in Again. Spite of that. Which, if rumors are to be believed, mm-hmm. that's not a good thing in WWE.
Right, which is stupid.
Get yourself over, which that doesn't make any sense.
Makes sense at all. But see, this is the part I disagree, though, because this is where we become fans. This is where I love the debates. I was a fan of Rusev from day one. I've been built as a WWE quote-unquote guy, and what the storytelling they tell us is there's always this foreign guy. You know, you go back to the Iron Sheik. You're right. You go back to Hendar Akbar. Okay. You go back to Rusev. Before that, you had what's the guy who won the title out of three-man band? I'm sorry. His name will lose me right now.
Jinder Mahal.
You had Muhammad Musan. You've always had these guys in your company. The Sultan. It comes from another country that comes here to wreak havoc. So he was that guy to me. He could go in the ring. He didn't need to talk. He had this look. He had Lana talking for him. All that worked and could have worked for years in the olden days. I don't know. Like you said, you're the first person I've seen Mitch say that. And I'm going to go ahead and say I never paid attention. Well, I have, but never spoke those words. I don't think the lights are on anymore with Vince. I know that he's out of touch. But being out of touch and not having light on at all are two different things, in my opinion, if you deep into the mind of professional wrestling. But AEW, I think we both think that he's going to sign there. We think that EC3 will sign there. Hopefully, we see Leo Rush there. But leading into this, and we'll get to this week of professional wrestling that we've seen with these releases and the guys that are being released, do you see anybody else? Do you see maybe Zack Ryder moving over to AEW? Do you think this is one of those releases that's a furlough release and him? Because I do think we're going to see my son's calling him the Belgian Waffles. Right? Luke Harper and them gone over. Right? Do you see anybody else actually going to AEW besides the three names we mentioned? I don't see Zack Ryder going over there. I think Zack Ryder's a lifer. And I think lifers tend to get other jobs in the company. Or maybe in that thing you said, and I've also saw in the reports, that everybody's not been laid off or fired. They've been furloughed, which is pretty much what I am. I am not fired from my company. I am just not working until my company has work for me. So where do you lie in that, Chris?
Now, doesn't this woman work for AEW, or is she at NXT? I get confused with the wrestling relationships.
Listen, as I said before, not me, but my friend always said, the only reason the girls are actually in wrestling is to keep the boys happy on the road. Besides that being said, in the life they've been given since then, I don't know. That's too many women to keep up with.
Fair enough. I could see him going to AEW, but I'm kind of leaning towards you. I think he's just going to go home, lick his wounds, and because he's a good hand, and he's a good guy. He seems like a very upbeat, positive guy, the type of guy that you would want in your locker room in some capacity to keep morale high. So I could definitely see him, once everything calms down, we get fans back in the arena, the money goes back up. I can definitely see him coming back in some sort of capacity. Maybe even like an MVP role, how he's back now. He's more of an agent, but every now and again, he'll go on there and wrestle and try to get somebody over. You know?
You brought up Montarius Montero Porter, or whatever his damn name is. I can't think. It is 420, and I've had to go a couple of drinks. I apologize, Mama. Please forgive me. He the one got the red cup. Shout out to the Chicago Bulls. Shout out to Town Center. We're going to talk about the Last Dance in a second. But but MVP, that's what he tell you. But MVP is actually going to wrestle. So, in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. And these are the things, I don't like how WWE fans or wrestling fans pick on WWE, but sometimes WWE acts for the shit. Sometimes WWE just puts out their fist and say, smack me. I want you to smack me. And they deserve to get smacked. I have nothing against MVP. But in the world that's changing and how AEW is bringing in younger mid-elder wrestlers, not legends, I'm thinking MVP's past his prime. Right, I'm not saying that because we know he knows he's a professional martial artist, so I'm not saying it in that term. He could probably kick my ass any day, okay? Or at least he'd have a hard time trying because I would swing. I'd definitely swing on you, okay? But what I'm saying is that, you know, he's past his prime, right? So, but wrestling fans are like, why is MVP in a ladder in a Money in the Bank qualifier match? And I was like, hey, it's MVP in a qualifying match. I didn't care. So but that's on SmackDown's side of things. I like to jump back and forth there, Chris. But let's get into the weekend wrestling that is, sir. Starting off, we left with the preview of Monday Night Raw. Raw was I can't remember nothing that even happened on Monday Night Raw a week ago today, to be completely honest with you.
I agree. It was there. It watched me more than I watched it. You know what I mean? I was doing FaceTime conversations. I was checking emails and doing stuff. I just had it on because I'm obligated to watch it and try to have some sort of opinion about it. But it was just there. The Andrade and McIntyre match, that was really good. I thought they did a really good job of leading to that match. How, you know, Zelina got her crew now, and they were just wrecking havoc all over Raw. They played into the injury angle that really happened last time Andrade and McIntyre fought for the NXT title. And I'm digging Drew as the title holder. He wears it very well. I just wish he had a crowd to play off of so we could see exactly how over he's getting. But he wears the title well. So I'm digging his reign thus far. And then, of course, we knew Seth was going to come out at the end and spark that feud. I mean, that was the worst kept secret in wrestling. You great shot to see that coming in. He blinded.
Listen,
you know
but
what
hold
mean?
On. But I like that. I like to see Drew McIntyre versus the white Jesus. I like to see that. I'm sorry. That to me, that's money. That's money to me, McIntyre and Seth Rollins. And I don't care. I don't want to hear to say, oh, that's too soon. Why they're doing it right now? What the hell else are they going to do?
Yeah. Clearly, they got MVP and a Money in the Bank qualifier, so they don't have they're basically working with what they got. And no disrespect, because I love MVP. But you know how that, you know what that is, though, man. WWE logic. Here's a guy that had some name values, some name cachet. They're going to talk about he's a former United States champion, tag champion, yada, yada, yada. And they're going to use that to try to elevate another guy, or at least put a good win on his belt. It's kind of like when Evander Holyfield fought Larry Holmes. Everybody knew Larry was past his prime, you know what I mean? But in the record books, Evander Holyfield beat Larry Holmes, who was one of the best heavyweights and probably the most underrated heavyweight.
Well, didn't he also beat some would call the greatest of all time, not me, unfortunately, Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes the same way?
Exact same thing.
So,
yeah. The cycle continues.
So that's just as I tell wrestling fans, things happen in wrestling the same way, things happen in sports the same. Sports, I always say hashtag wrestling is storyline, but after that, I went sports is storyline. There is no sports without storyline. Okay? Wrestling just prefers to put it in the forefront. But I like that rivalry coming out of Raw, and I'm excited for that. And right now, when I'm watching these wrestling shows, I'm not looking for the whole 3 hours, unfortunately, that Raw is. Jesus, you thought Raw carried on when it was live for 3 hours. It's even longer for 3 hours now. So this is where this is just bad for business, right? But to put any of these wrestling shows together in perspective to watch them, I'm not looking for a whole good wrestling show because it can't be all good because it is no crowd there. I'm watching it for what they're trying to show me and tell me, and I like that aspect of Raw. And I do like the fact that MVP's in the Money in the Bank qualifier match, Chris. What else we got going on?
All right, so shit, that's really about it on Raw, man. I mean, I guess we can mosey down the road to AEW unless you had some other thoughts.
No, AEW.
All righty. So AEW Dynamite, the main event was phenomenal. Jon Moxley versus Jake Hager. They almost made me forget that I was just watching Dean Ambrose fight Jack Swagger. Like, that's how good it was. These last couple of weeks, they've done a really good job of building Jake Hager as this animal and making him seem like a big deal and a threat to the throne. Plus, what was it called? The bubbly brunch or the bubbly bunch. That was probably the best thing I saw on TV all week.
That was not the best thing I seen on TV all because I saw The Last Dance last night. But in the words of wrestling, that was the best thing. I wanted to get that on here, but I couldn't find a way of getting that without it being copywritten. So that was the best thing in professional wrestling all week. The circle that's inner, as Max Hardy would say, okay? That was phenomenal. And I want a bottle of bubbly from Chris Jericho. I'll be watching Impact Live next week, not on tape delay. And I'm going to submit, and I hope I get picked. Yeah, I'm a little fan again, because I want a six-pack of the bubbly. All right? I do.
It's actually not bad champagne. We bought a couple of bottles that night that they debuted it. It was actually pretty good champagne.
All right.
A little bit of aftertaste, but I can rock with it.
Now, I do want to go back to you saying how good this match was. I was blah. And I mean, listen, and I don't want anybody there saying, oh, there he is, because like Stone Cold Steve Austin, there you go. For those who can't see it on radio, those are the dude double birds that I'm giving the crowd because I am hashtag the Jon Moxley guy. I am the one who said the All-American, 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 All-American. Earmuffs, kids. Shit. 5 times All-American Jack Hager. These are my guys. I don't know. Maybe for me, and it's taking nothing away from JR, who
For what it's worth, I thought JR's commentary and adding in certain things like, well, it's a chairs there. There's no crowd. Why? We got to get that fixed. I love that about the commentary. But the switch in the commentary that when I had Jericho, who was funny all night with Tony Schiavone, I thought should have been for that match. And I understand why you bring in JR for this match, because this is his coup de tête, you know what I'm saying, to call kind of a match. I don't know. Something about this match was just okay to me. And I thought it was good, but I've seen these two do better, as they would say about the Matt Hardy compound that was better in TNA, people have said. Chris?
Well, I mean, kayfabe, you know, coming from a kayfabe situation or a kayfabe perspective, you can't have Jericho out there calling the match because theoretically what's going to stop him from interfering in the match?
Gotcha.
Why would he interfere in the match?
Gotcha.
That makes him look like a Jay Brown. Like your man's fighting for the title and you're not going to help him?
Right.
You're just going to sit there on commentary?
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So thank you. Teach me.
And, I mean, JR was probably sitting at the crib, and they overdubbed it.
Yeah, you know, of course.
Wasn't even there with anybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. It sounded like that. So
but
again,
it would have been nice if he had somebody to play off of.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, we all love JR. We do. We know JR is a whole legend on these streets. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But we also
To me, he's the greatest of all time. To me, he's the greatest of all time. Some would say Gordon Sully. Some would say Gorilla Monsoon. Some would actually say Michael Cole. I know a couple fans that say Michael Cole, but I don't know how. Some say it. I didn't say it. Okay. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay.
It's subjective, I guess.
So is comedy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that. Yeah, JR didn't give us the fastball. And like I said, I'm just, you know, as we can debate, I don't know. It was just something about, for me, it wasn't boom. You know, I know I didn't need to see no cinematic for your smart marks out there to talk. You know, no, I didn't need none of that. It's AEW. I know what I'm getting. It wasn't the match of the night for me on that card. That's all. It was long. It was good. It was good. I saw different things from both the guys I hadn't seen them do before. It just didn't hit for me, Chris.
You know what? I'm not even going to lie, man. I kind of dig old, curmudgeon, Gran Torino, get off my lawn, Jim Ross.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, man. It's just probably somebody's old grandfather just yelling at the clouds. It's entertaining for me.
So, one second. Checking my phone. So, what else we got going on in wrestling?
All right. So, I think that's about it in AEW.
Of course.
Lance
Archer. Well, no. Go right there. And that's my fault. Stay right there. As the image on the screen that would let me to the next point. Then I grabbed my phone. I got distracted. I apologize.
Okay.
At Facebook, or I'm sorry, on YouTube.com/TheGameV1. That's THA. That's also my gamer tag for all you gamers out there who think you want to pull up on some Madden, some 2K, some WWE 2K19, whatever you want to play. Come bring your drama. If you got shooters, I got people to shoot you down on them games as well. But also follow us on Twitter, Instagram at Mike Knox by my namesake. I am loud, fellas. I do speak loud, and I make your girl loud as well, or mine, as that's especially. But this guy on the screen right here, hashtag I'm a John Moxley guy. Is Moxley the man in AEW? Is he a placeholder, Chris? That's a question I wanted to propose to you today.
I think neither.
Okay.
I think they want him to be the man. I don't think he's the man. I still think Jericho is the man. He's the guy that makes that company relevant because, I mean, he's reached GOAT status in his career.
Absolutely.
They want Moxley be the man. And I have this weird thing with Moxley. He checks all the boxes.
Does he?
And he seems like he should be a bigger star than he is. But there's something missing there. I can't quite place my finger on it, but there's just something slightly off. And I have no idea what it is.
For me, as I say, I'm a Moxley guy. As I know, I love wrestling. I love certain things about wrestling, but I always say certain things also that I have to always point out. Shout out to my wife checking out the show right there. How you doing, baby? But we had this debate on Xbox. Some of the best conversations I have about pro wrestling is on the Xbox Live party, but that's not being recorded. Somehow I'm going to integrate how to put those together and get those on wax for you guys to hear. But I've always lived in this belief of what made HH him, what made the Ultimate Warrior the Ultimate Warrior, what made Flair Flair was the bigger-than-life characters. Now, I know there's the flip side. You have your Mick Foley's. You have one of my favorites of all time, Dusty Rhodes. That is the common man. But I think, ultimately, unless you have that, and a lot of them don't have it, next to none of them have that Dusty Rhodes flair, unless you're that kind of character that's a regular Joe, You're not getting over. The fans can complain and say that's what they want all day. Oh, we relate to Kevin Owens. Really? Do you really relate to Kevin Owens?
Yes, because they look like Kevin Owens.
Okay. You look like John Moxley. You look like John Moxley, right?
Well, not me. I'm black.
Right? Okay. Know. Right?
Tall and lanky. Okay. Yeah. I can smoke a bag of that.
Okay. Well, while you're smoking that bag, make sure you tump out the tobacco, because that's the worst that you're going to smoke, is to understand, because we're here for the smoke, that you want them to be bigger than life. I don't want nobody like me that I think's a superstar. What makes Muhammad Ali was, he was great. What makes Michael Jordan? Because I'm not Mike. I'm not LeBron. I'm not Kobe. I'm not Bret Hart. I'm not Shawn Michaels. I'm not the if you smell la 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 la. That's horrible, but I don't care what the Rock is cooking. That's the problem with fans in Moxley. That's my answer I was getting to. Y'all, he's too much like the common man. Jericho's not the common looking guy. Okay?
Maybe you're right, but I mean that's literally the Dusty Rhodes character. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. I'm going down a tangent. I don't want to go down. We're gonna keep it right here with Johnny. I don't know what it is. Do you remember that show on USA called Burn Notice? You remember that show?
Yeah, I do remember Burn Notice. Pretty good show, by the way.
See, that's how I feel about Moxley. Mm-hmm. Cool locale, cool clothes, good cast. You know, I mean, charismatic cast, a lot of action, a lot of adventure. But for some reason, it just didn't hit for me like I felt it should have hit.
Did it hit for you?
That's how I feel about Moxley.
Did it hit for you in the Shield? Or was, 'cause to me, I think he was always the eye man out in the Shield as far as the guy to be the next star.
Well, everybody in the Shield has proven that the sum was greater than the individual parts, because none of them have gotten to the level that they were at with the Shield on their own.
As far as what? As far as fans love?
As far as where they should be, like
I disagree. Look where Roman Reigns has been. Look where Seth Rollins has been. The only one, and he has two reigns, is Jon Moxley, aka, or you know, that's his name now, so you can't say aka, but formerly known as Dean Ambrose. So no, that part in what you're saying, they've reached the pinnacle. Roman's how many times champions? He may have been in WrestleMania how many times? They've been exactly where they're supposed to be, but I don't think Dean Ambrose, now known as John Moxley, did reach that pinnacle. But I definitely think Rollins and Reigns made it there, Chris.
Okay, his first title reign, talking about Rollins, it was good. It was unexpected, and it was great. The second title reign was mid. And that's why they got the title up off of him and put it on the Fiend. Moxley's title reigns were whack, and Roman is supposed to be in that Hogan, that Warrior, that Dusty, that Stone Cold, that Rock, rarefied air. That's where he's supposed to be, and he ain't there. It's not even up his own fault.
Hey, I'm not Roman. Not to me, not to me, not to you, but to that check, to their bottom line, he is.
No, man.
No, that's not true. That's not true either. But I'm just saying, he's making money for them, though. He's one of their highest getting guys. So it's paying off in that. It may not be paying off with fans. And that's where that's the biggest disconnect between WWE and fans, is that fans, including myself, want it to be about fans. They want it to be about business. And they see things differently. It's not a wrestling company anymore. And when wrestling fans start realizing that they're not watching pro wrestling, because pro wrestling's AEW, pro wrestling's NWA Crockett Cup, pro wrestling's MLW with Mo LaLawler, friend of the program. Okay, that's pro wrestling. This is wrestling entertainment. So in the wrestling entertainment world, they're doing exactly what the WWE wants them to do. And that's the disconnect, Chris.
Hulk Hogan got some main events out the Big Boss Man. Hulk Hogan got some main events out of Earthquake.
That was the 80s. That's when one person could be so big, Chris, it trumped anything else.
Okay, so John Cena main evented with John Laurinaitis. So you're telling me that if Roman is where he's supposed to be, where he should be, they couldn't have main evented Fiend and Roman at WrestleMania? They couldn't. That's why they had to dust off the mothballs off Bird.
You know, to answer the question, I won't say I disagree. All right, because I believe there's some truth in what you just said. But I say they didn't do it because they didn't think it would work for them. I don't think they did it because they knew the fans would boo it. That's why I don't think they did it. Because ultimately they want Roman. We all know that. The company can't even fucking hide it. Okay? It's Roman, 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 Roman. But fans want anything but Roman. Like, they want anything but Cena. Right? So if they had Roman go over on Bray at Mania in that crowd that was supposed to be there, oh, they would have did that. Okay? And if they could have done it again knowing that this pandemic was coming, which maybe they did know, since McMahon is so close to the clown in chief. Maybe they did know. Then they could have pulled that off. But I don't think it had anything to do with business. I think they didn't do that because of fans. And the last few WrestleManias in which I've attended and other people have attended, when Roman comes out, it's the greatest booze in the history of booted them. So, SmackDown, what we got next?
All right, so Friday Night SmackDown. By the way, while I'm pulling up SmackDown, I really wish we could have played that experiment out to have Roman and Goldberg main event that Mania, because I saw it going similar to Goldberg and Brock at WrestleMania 20. Like, both guys were just going to get booed out of the building, and Stone Cold was going to have to come out and stun everybody to send them home happy.
Yeah.
I'm being facetious with the last part, but I just wish we could have played that out and saw how everything worked. All right, so moving on to Friday Night SmackDown. This wasn't a bad show. This show probably had my favorite match of the week on it, which was the triple threat for the SmackDown Tag Team titles with one of the Usos. I don't know which one. We just going to call him Us. Big E.
Jimmy,
and, of course, The Miz. I get him confused. No disrespect. I love him.
You can tell by the tattoo. You can tell by the tattoos on the shoulders, man.
I can tell which one Naomi's hanging off of. Okay. That's how I know them apart. Right. Yeah, that's just me.
Flamé Mignon, go ahead.
But I thought it was a really good match, man. And I was surprised that the New Day pulled it out. But obviously the Usos and New Day have chemistry. They're two of the best tag teams of the last 20 years. You can add me if you want to. I don't even think it's debatable. And Miz plays his part well when he's out there, that chicken shit heel that you want to see him get his ass beat. So he knows how to play his part well. But it was a pretty good match. I like Tamina and Sasha. Go ahead.
No. I just had a feeling on how you pull that match off. A week after WrestleMania, when you couldn't pull off WrestleMania, Miz. Just curious. That's all. Go ahead. Like, they changed the match because he was refusing to show up for work, but then he showed up for work then. That completely threw me off. And as a wrestling fan, I think fans complain about, you know, or the people were like, oh, they shouldn't be there. Look, Miz didn't show up. Well, he didn't show up for WrestleMania, but he showed up for this.
Did you see how the Usos got the little dig in? Started coughing. Shout out to live television.
Yeah, go ahead. You can finish.
Tamina and Sasha, I like the story that they're telling with that. I also like Tamina being a badass, because she should be, because she's a badass. But I like the story they're telling with that. That's going to be a slow build. It's obviously leading towards the Bayley and Sasha match. I just hope we can get that match when we finally get it in front of an audience.
Yeah.
I think they've earned it with the work that they've been doing. You keep talking.
No, I was just agreeing with what you were saying. But as you're bringing up the rest of the happen, Dice Man chimes in again about, and we please acknowledge how good Sonya Deville, in his mind also, was looking, but was on the microphone opposed to Mandy. And Dice, some things, what the hell are we supposed to say? I voted because I was a moron, like most men out there. I've been watching because of the Pluto channel, Chicago Inc. all over again, Don. Like most men think with the other head, so the smart head, and was voting for her and Tough Enough, along with once they kicked off Velveteen Dream, of course. But she's horrible. Outside, I've always thought Mandy Rose isn't developing to me. On the microphone or in the ring. Sonya Deville is doing what they're supposed to get in this business and do, and that's get a chance, evolve, get an opportunity, shine, prove you evolved, and then hope that they like you from there. And I think Sonya Deville is doing all those things. Go ahead, Chris, with the lineup. I just wanted to hit that question in the chat.
No, I agree with you completely. Mandy's a one-trick pony, and Sonya hit it out the park. That was a star-making promo that she cut on Friday. So shout out to Sonya, man.
Yeah.
All right, moving right along. We also had a Money in the Bank qualifier with Cleveland's own Dana Brooke defeating Naomi to qualify for the Money in the Bank match. And I mean, you remember 2 months ago, 3 months ago, Naomi was the hottest thing. She blew Twitter the fuck up.
Yeah, the all natural look, yeah.
And it did absolutely positively nothing with it. So this lets you know they don't have the pulse. Like, in WWE, you want people to tune in? Get black people to watch this show, man. Listen to black people. We know what's hot. We dictate what's hot. We are the tastemakers of the universe. What we consider is hot, even if the shit is whack, if we say it's hot, automatically it becomes hot.
That's music, fashion, you name it. Go ahead. Listen, this Money in the Bank that's coming up, right? And I got the promo up there. And actually, that's not even the picture I wanted.
Where's my other one I had that I wanted to put up there for this Money in the Bank? There it is, the one the chair shot put up there. Money in Bank off the roof, right? Because we got word that they're filming Money in the Bank early, which they have to. Are we ready to accept them doing everything cinematically, though, Chris? Like, I said last week, I dug what they did with Taker because I understood it. I loved what they did with Bray because it wasn't a wrestling match. I wasn't so on point with the Ciampa and Gargano match being done that way. It looks like when it comes to big matches, at least for the foreseeable future without there being a crowd, and from there we don't know, they're going to go the cinematic way. And now they're filming this thing on top of the roof? Chris, your thoughts when you first heard this and even what you think about the cinematic universe at this point for WWE? WWE's own cinematic universe.
Yeah, I'm tripping, man, because I totally buried the lead in this whole scenario. Is the Money in the Bank starting in the basement and culminating up on the roof?
Right.
I like the idea, and I like that they're trying new things, because how long as wrestling fans have we been wanting something new, something different, something that felt fresh and out of the ordinary? So I'm not mad at them for trying things. The problem is you got to go with the law of diminishing returns, which means the more they do this, the less and less good it's going to be.
Right.
And we saw that with the Ciampa and Johnny Cleveland thing. Like, I didn't like that match at all. It was what it was. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to get whacker and whacker the more they continue to do it. But I can't fault them because I've been pushing them for the last 15 years to
change.
Different. And, yeah, change. And they're finally doing it. And I think it works on a meta level because, you know, it's kind of that climbing the corporate ladder, like you start
yes.
in the basement.
Yes.
You got to climb the corporate ladder. You know, the roof is the ceiling, as
yes.
your man said.
But I just, this is funny to me that they even considered doing any of this stuff right here. But I'm with you. It better be good. All right. I don't think they can afford right now, which I don't even know how to use that word. They don't care what they can afford as far as what we think about them succeeding or just or approving or not approving what they do. But we're going to see it, and hopefully it doesn't suck. That's all I can say. Hopefully it doesn't suck. What else we had going on SmackDown for the week of our weekend wrestling review?
That's about it, man, as far as, you know, things that people actually care about. I mean,
I'm
we
sorry.
Had a pretty good Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro match. It was pretty good for what it was.
No Braun on Bliss? No Bray Wyatt and Fiend building towards this rival? Nothing that nobody else cares about? I'm offended. I care. Am I not somebody?
It's like a virtual hug, man. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. You want a virtual hug? I'm gonna give you a virtual hug.
No, that's still social distancing. Let's do the Orange Cassidy high five. Give me that Orange Cassidy high five.
I got you.
All right. But no, I'm not so much care, but I like where it's going. You know, him saying up for himself that, you know, I don't owe you anything. You know what I mean, kind of a thing. And it was a mistake in my career and things like that. I think that threw me off because. To Bray, in his mind, it's a family. It's what I brought you into my world of my character. And to you, it was a mistake. And early in my career, I didn't know what to do, so I just did what was I thought was good. I mean, you could still work with that some more. But I'm definitely excited to see this happening and see this come right now. So, other than that, what's your grade for the week in professional wrestling?
You know what? I'll give it 2 Zack Ryder Intercontinental title reigns. Yeah, it did nothing for me. It was cool because it was there, but it really didn't do anything for me.
The whole week in wrestling did nothing for you? I have to agree with you in that because I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5 on a hardcore championships. And I mean that in how I view belts I would purchase, right? It's something I would never buy because it's not a belt. I'm intrigued the way it looks. It just wasn't a good week. It wasn't a good PR look for them firing people during this pandemic. Hashtags, please stay at home, stay safe. Although we still understood it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a good look for the company. Losing Howard Finkel. To me, the match is not being so good. Although, if I had to give a grade, and we didn't even talk about NXT, because I wanted to move on quickly. I still would think AEW had the best show of the week. And I'm saying that because I love the match with Archer. I'm a big fan. I'm becoming a great fan of Orange Cassidy. I love the inner, the pool that's inner, a bubbly bunch promo And the match was pretty decent as I look forward to it. But overall, I'm with you. Two out of five hardcore title runs. I didn't think it was a good week in wrestling at all, Chris.
No, and I can't do NXT with no crowd. The crowd is just way too
important.
Way too important to the NXT product. And without the crowd, there's just something missing, and it's not hitting. So, yeah, I don't even flip the channel anymore on Wednesdays. We just keep it on Dynamite and rock with it. I'll turn back if, like, Dream is on there or something like that, because that's my man's, or Keith Lee or something like that. But other than that, yeah.
Now, during this week, and I've let people in a way, if you look at what this show today is called, it's not titled Around the Blocks of Mike Knox Wrestling Show. Because for a while, and when I started off with BDSR Networks, Network, it was a wrestling show with sports and entertainment. And wrestling fans wanted to separate sports from wrestling and vice versa. So I ended up making the network, which it became today, over close to 3,000 episodes now. Hip-hop show from the UK. Shout out to Mike Grandbody P himself, doing the big things over in the UK. Every Wednesday we're on here live as he, you know, double downs the show from the UK and promotes it here in the States as well. Right now, just us two, but we were at 10 shows on this network and going strong. And so been here for a while. But and doing that, I'm saying that because we're not going to always talk about professional wrestling, guys. It's what we're going to talk about. But there's other things going on the roll right now. And with the entertainment world, what's going on, there's no sports right now. But what is being talked about and what I've been waiting for, like the Avengers, like our WrestleMania, for 3 years was The Last Dance. From the first time I saw the promo, I glamored for it. Hell, I'm a Michael Jordan guy. I'm in that argument against my cousin and younger generations that LeBron is not the GOAT. Kobe is not the GOAT. The greatest of all time is Michael Jordan. Yes, maybe not the scoring leader. Yes, maybe not having the most championships. It's the attitude, and my tweet last night said it all. To be like Mike wasn't to be like Mike on the court for us growing up watching Mike. It was to be a killer in and off the court. To be like Mike was to look my opponent when I'm playing Madden, what I've developed in Mike Knox, who Mike Knox persona is. It's the I don't give a fuck mentality. If you don't like it, listen anyway, because it's the best damn show in radio. Mentality came from my love of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. In this documentary, I'm hoping people get an opportunity to see how good this guy was and why we loved him. And I think it's also fixing some of the stereotypes in which say, hey, maybe he was so cocky. Maybe he was so arrogant. And he said things like, I couldn't have done this without Pippen. Don't mention Michael Jordan without mentioning Scottie Pippen. That has to be the ultimate, I couldn't have done it without him guy. People don't say Jordan did it by himself. Fans that hate Jordan says that y'all say he did it by himself. No, it's like Mike Knox's opinion. Y'all think that what I'm saying is fact. No, you take it as fact because my passion for my opinion is so fucking strong. But it's not a fact. It's an opinion. So fans always knew we couldn't do it without Scotty, we call him in Chicago, Big Nose, Pippen. Okay? And I digress. Fida, if you didn't catch it, you should catch it. If you don't remember it, I just want to play it because it's my show. You don't like it, listen anyway. Promo.
Okay, get it. Got it.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome once again to Bulls Basketball.
The most famous fan on the planet is here.
Documentary taking over our airwaves, taking over sports and any other sports show after it, and the day after it, and the day after that, until it re-airs again because there's nothing else to talk about. Michael Jordan has been accused of being selfish and so damn what? Now is the perfect time for fans to understand why we love him so much and for why you still hate him so much. All was available today in part one and part two of the Chicago Bulls. And I absolutely love part one and part two, Chris. I can't say enough. As a kid from Chicago, I wasn't here for this final season. I had just left Chicago at this point in 98 and moved to Delaware. But growing up there, I remember in 1991, I always tell my wife, and this is something that I'm letting out the bag. In 1991, when Michael Jordan, and this is a little, you know, people don't understand the world I lived in, and the Bulls won that championship, it was the first time a kid who lived on 69th Street could walk to 71st Street and not fear for my life, because all we were doing was being happy celebrating the Chicago Bulls that won a championship. It didn't matter what colors we had on there, what I was affiliated with. It was the Chicago Bulls color that mattered. And that was great for me. And I will always attribute a huge part of my childhood. I brainwashed my kids so bad, they don't know that Michael's the GOAT. It's that simple, Chris. Your takes on part one and part two, my friend.
Well, first and foremost, shout out to ESPN for doing right by the people, for moving this series up and giving us something to watch. And I'm curious to see what the numbers of this series did, because what else was anybody else watching?
Not a damn thing.
How massive this thing was. Yeah. And I'm going to table the LeBron versus Jordan discussion, because this isn't the time for that, man. This is a celebration of Michael Jordan, and you got your jersey on. We're not going there, man. This is your time. You know what I mean? So we're not going there. Obviously, I enjoyed
both. I ain't sweating for nothing in this hot-ass room with my air conditioner being broke, and I live in Florida. I'm sweating for this man right here. All right? As soon as the show's over, I'm taking this hot-ass jersey off. Go ahead, Christopher. Shit, it's hot.
And I got to be honest, man. As a kid growing up in Cleveland, I still remember Magic Johnson saying that the Cavs were going to be the team of the 90s. Mm-hmm. And those 90s teams are forgotten now. Yeah, they were really good. We had really good teams, but the problem was we couldn't get past Jordan and the Bulls. And it's so shitty to be from Cleveland that we don't even get credit for being his greatest rival. Y'all always bring up Patrick Ewing and the goddamn Knicks.
Because they were, or because it was them and the Pistons. No, y'all didn't matter. I'm sorry. I respect y'all, but y'all didn't matter because y'all wasn't that team. And unfortunately,
there's going to be no bad boy slant either. Isaiah Thomas is my favorite player.
Oh, listen. That's in episode three. That's in episode three. And just to give a little heads up about episode three coming next, this coming Sunday, that there's this part, and I love that Mike Greenberg said this morning. If the, because this isn't mine, this is Nietzsche's. That's when I steal something that I heard from somebody else. It's not mine, it's Nietzsche's. That if the rules of today was back then when they played the Bulls in that Pistons series, would you have seen in that series? The entire team would have been suspended for the year because basketball was different back then than it is now. Kevin Durant, his own words, he said, yeah, we're more athletic today. We're longer today and lengthwise. But the floor spacing, the touches that he would get today, he would average 50 points a game.
Yeah, it's not even close.
It's not just that he was what he was on the basketball court, though. It was the intensity and the willingness to want to win. And watching this documentary, just briefly going this, because tomorrow myself and Champ Creed of Fox Sports Radio, the Wrestling Marks of Excellence and the Champ Creed podcast show, will be discussing this in detail, was just how bad and the thought process of America will never cease to exist in my mind. And shout out to Jamil Hill, formerly of ESPN Radio. I think she's on what's she write for now? The basketball.
The Atlantic.
Okay.
With the Atlantic.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was okay. And she said that Jerry Krause reminds her of another owner she knows today by the name of Jerry Jones. You may bring me in because you identify talent and have the money to move this talent to your team to fit these pieces together, but if the pieces on the floor don't play well, then they're the ones to get blamed. They're not going to remember who Jerry Krause was if he didn't win that championship, and then Jerry Krause not getting another general manager job. That's it. But the players make the league, guys, not the front office. And to think that, and again, very little in this documentary can surprise me because I knew these things. I knew this was going on because I'm from the city. At that point, I had just left the city. I had enough ears to the city and was close to the situation being a fan. knew these things. Nothing surprised me last night that I saw. Absolutely nothing. Only thing surprised me is we had a debate. What's in that glass? I know one thing Uncle Shay said. Yeah, Skip Bayless. It wasn't yak. All right, that wasn't no damn cheap-ass Hennessy that Mike was drinking. That's like a McCallum, some Louis 13, something. You say a Scotch. All right, that wasn't no Doors. All right, but it, and also, shout out to my man Otis, okay? Ain't nobody worried about your ass, Otis. It wasn't no goddamn bottle I couldn't afford either. It wasn't no $5,000 bottle of brandy. Maybe it was, though. Maybe it was some butterscotch that I never seen in my life before. I don't know. But I know, and I've always known, that that team was a great team. And the fact you would tell someone like Michael Jordan, that's like, can you imagine today if the front office of the Los Angeles Lakers told LeBron James or the Cleveland Cavaliers, you go back, you name whatever franchise, insert any great athlete, GOAT of their time athlete, and say to you, I don't care if you win 16 games, Tom Brady. I don't care if you go 82-0, LeBron James. Your ass ain't coming back. The outrage the NBA would have today because of the power, because of Michael Jordan, that the NBA has today. I think players forget, but he's the GOAT, because not just what they did on the court, it's the mentality he had, and the players know they would not be multi-millionaires today without Michael Jeffrey Jordan, Chris. That's my final thoughts on MJ. What's yours? We're going to move on from today's program, brother.
You know, it's one of those scenarios, man. Jordan was a force of nature. And if you weren't there, I don't know how you can put into words or into context what exactly Michael Jordan was. Number one, just on the court, not only was he arguably the best athlete on the court, he was the most fundamentally sound player on the court. And that mentality, that dog mentality, he just literally refused to lose. And he was going to break you mentally. And that's the part, like, when I go back and forth and I talk back and forth with him and LeBron, that's the one part that I got to give to Jordan. He was mentally going to break you. And I don't see that with LeBron. And he never quit. Now, obviously, the phenomenon that he was, number one, we all knew that Jordan was a sociopath. Like, that's not anything new. If you didn't know that, you know, if you know, you know. It is what it is. But yeah, like you said, man, the league would not be where it was if it was not for Jordan. You can say that Bird and Magic saved the league.
Absolutely.
Because they had the reputation of a bunch of, you know, cool kids.
Yeah.
Hell, they used to play the finals games on delay.
Yeah.
On tape delay.
Yeah.
But then Jordan took it to that next level. And he, not just basketball players, but just athletes in general. And, I mean, how comfortable, hell, you can make the argument that if there was no Michael Jordan, there might not be an Oprah Winfrey. Because he was that one black guy that white people were comfortable allowing into their home, even if it was just for 2 hours at a time watching a basketball game. And you know what I mean? He just, he transcended everything.
Yeah.
And the commercializing, the shoes.
The world, you know, the world is not today what it was then. You know? And then, for what it's worth, not having this access on social media to these guys and can say what we want to say to them, or they watch it or don't watch it, acknowledge it or don't acknowledge it, access to, they didn't have that then. And so to see them on a TV show, to see them walking in the streets was huge news. That's why when you saw them in Paris, it was big that it was over in Paris like that at that time. It's just the world was different. The world is very different now. And because of that, we are missing some of the golden things we had. I've always said this, and I'm going to continue to say this. If Jordan played today, if Ali fought today, if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played today, if Karl Malone, with the checker pass he had, played today, Charles Barkley played today, a lot of our greats, insert sports you want to name, Babe Ruth, played today, these are athletes that will be hated by social media standards. Because they'll be considered bullies. They'll be considered guys who talk too much shit. But where we grew up, where we come from, why I miss the olden times is, a real man to us was a man that could talk trash, take trash being talked to them, and elevate from it, and not be pussified because of it. This has nothing to do with your sexuality. This is what we thought about being a man. Bullying to us was a common thing. I'm not saying it was right. I'm not saying that it's right. I know that bullying is wrong today. But if you could take the beating, the brow beating that was given to you, on the other side was a respect from your fellow man that was unmatched by anything else in this world, Chris. And with that being said, listen, guys, we're going to get up out of here. Look for me tomorrow right here on BDSR Networks, 1340 AM Fox Sports, 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio, Hopewell, Virginia. Also, hashtag, look out, y'all, hashtag the chair shot use, I'm sorry, chairshot.com, use your head, hashtag use your head it is, if you will, so to speak. I'm sorry, Greg DeMarco, I apologize. The Greg DeMarco Show, podcast of war, all that going on. Chris, where do you get the shirts at, man? Because I need to get myself one for next week's show, actually.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You all can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We've got something for everybody, for the wrestling fan in your life, even if it happens to be you. We've got Save Tag Team Wrestling, hashtag journalism, Baron Corbin sucks. We've got old designs. We've got new designs.
Don't buy that Baron Corbin shirt.
ProWrestlingTees.com/ endorsed by Baron Corbin, by the way. He actually endorsed that shirt.
Okay,
then
buy
that. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Please and thank you. Thank you, please.
Thank you and please. Listen, guys, do not wake up all morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat and don't love God, because that ain't cool. Check me out tomorrow, y'all. Check for this podcast later as well, guys. We out of here. Peace. For my son, I'm a dad just out of here right now, y'all. You ever get it? Let's get it.
Your time is up. Your time is now. You can't see him. His time is now. Your boy might knock. Yeah, he's shining now. The game's be won. Yeah, his time is now.
Uh-huh.
Your time is up. His time is now. You can't see him. His time is now. The ball might knock. Yeah, he's shining now. Yo, the game's be won. Yeah, his time is now.
The best damn show on the radio. The game version one on your speaker, so here we go. Mike Knox, the triple X, hardcore host with the most, is the explosive, most electrifying coast to coast. Get ready for sports, entertainment, and all that. If you don't like the way brag, you can really call back. Confidence is what you call that. Every Saturday from 6 to 7, you know that it's on black. World order belt, this is so heavenly. So if you don't like it, you should listen anyway. From wrestling to sports to the movies, you name it, yo. Mike Knox, the best damn show on the radio.